Well, good morning. Good to see you. This is a day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I was thinking about what might best encourage us as we look into God's Word, and I was thinking I would share a lesson about the source of our faith, and to look at the Word of God. I think we'll do that in the second hour instead. We might have a couple of children in here that might be challenged to take a closer look at salvation and their own life. But I was just thinking about a lot of the things that we're going through. I appreciate your prayers for my daughter. She's halfway through her chemotherapy. It's been a challenge. Those of you that know folks that have been there or have had that yourself, you know that that can be very difficult. But she's keeping the faith. She's looking up. She's trusting the Lord. She's halfway through. Has issues, of course, resulting from the chemotherapy, which, of course, you know, is the doctor's poisoning your body and trying to kill the cancer. And she's halfway through, and in March she's scheduled for surgery. So we'll keep you up to date of what's going on, and I appreciate your prayers. Having said that, listening to all the prayer requests here this morning, sickness everywhere, people sick with challenges, so much, it's enough to maybe get you down, and I don't want anybody to be down. I want you to be up. Somebody asks, how things are going? They're looking up. How are things going in the assembly? They're looking up. You see, we're called to look up. God asks us to look up, and we're looking up. And today could be the day when the Lord takes us all home. We don't have to worry about all the things that are on our prayer list. As far as sicknesses go, I will be cured in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I want to talk to you this morning about happiness. I'm the happiest person I know. I know that sounds arrogant, but I am. And as a Christian, you should be the happiest person you know. And there's some good reasons for that. You know, even in the Constitution of the United States of America, it's written that we as Americans are guaranteed the right of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I think that's one of the reasons why people come from all over the world to be here. They're pursuing happiness. But you and I know there's another kind of happiness that they can't get just by changing their citizenship or going to another country. You can cross maybe the Rio Grande or come across the Pacific Ocean or the Atlantic Ocean. There's a lot of trouble to do that. And I understand. But they'll find out that no, the pursuit of happiness is forever a pursuit. And I'm so glad I came to a place in my life that I realized I don't have to chase after happiness. Something happened in my heart, something happened in my life, and something happened in your life that could make you take another look, a close look at happiness. Happiness is indeed what so many people are looking for. And if they're looking for it, it's because they haven't yet found it. And we need, of course, to pray that they have this happening in their life where they discover true happiness. And you and I know where that is found. If you go to work every Monday morning, you sit around a lot of people that are not happy. A lot of reasons, and I want you to know that God really does want us to find true happiness. Unhappy people everywhere. I don't have to tell you that. You know that. And I hope that's not you. And if it is, I want you to think about what I'm going to say this morning about happiness. And you might argue with me, say, Ingemar, you're not the happiest person. No, I didn't say I was the happiest person. I said, I'm the happiest person I know. And you might be the happiest person you know because of some things that you know that other people don't know. Why are people so unhappy? Unhappy people can be placed in three categories. There are those who are unhappy because of their past. Then there are those that are unhappy because of the future. And of course, there are those that are unhappy because of their present. And it's a shame, but it's true. It's a reality. First of all, there are some people that are unhappy because of their past. You say, why are you so unhappy? Well, if they have time and they have confidence in you, they'll tell you a story. It might even break your heart, make your jaw drop, and they'll tell you why they're unhappy. Something that happened in their life and in their past, they've not gotten over it. Something happened in their past, and for that reason, they're an unhappy person. When they think of their past, they experience guilt or regret or remorse or shame. You know some people like that. And because of that, when the lights go out at night and they lay down and put their head on the pillow, it all comes. The remorse, the guilt, the regret, if I only, or the shame. And they're unhappy. They're unhappy because of something that happened in the past. Some even try to bury their past and pretend that it does not bother them, but they can't bury it any deeper than their subconscious. And so it always comes back. They're unhappy about something that happened in the past. You know, there was a king named Herod that had John the Baptist arrested and executed, you remember. And he didn't sleep well ever since. Matter of fact, when he heard stories about miracles and heard about an itinerant preacher that was preaching the same message, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, the Bible says he thought, oh no, John the Baptist has risen from the dead. He was guilty. He felt guilty. And there are people who try to bury it. John was placed in the deepest dungeon that Herod had because he didn't like something that John the Baptist had said about taking his brother's wife. But conscience has a way of accusing us that we're sinners. And there are people everywhere, they're unhappy. So why are you unhappy? And they'll tell you about something that happened in the past. It's either regret or it's guilt or it's remorse or it's shame. And there it is in their subconscious. They can't get away from it. They have a gnawing sense of a law which is found in both the Bible and in the heart of men. Be sure your sins will find you out. And for that reason, they're unhappy. Now, you could call it mistakes or errors. You can call it what you want. The Bible calls it sin. And they're unhappy because of their past. And so we need to be aware of that. That there are unhappy people, and the reason is because of the past. Then there are those who are unhappy when they look at the future. While guilt was responsible for unhappiness with regard to the past, fear causes unhappiness with regard to the future. These people worry about the atom bomb or the worry about sickness or cancer or inflation or crime or war and a million other fears make real happiness impossible because of fear. The people see the sun is setting on their opportunity rather than rising. They fear unemployment, poverty, the unknown of tomorrow, and they're unhappy. There are people everywhere around us that are unhappy, some because of the past, some because of what lies in the future. The third category is the largest. These are people who are unhappy because of the now, because of the present, their present circumstances. They do not worry about the past. They might even have great hopes for the future, but they're not happy because of their today. It's their present circumstances that discourage them. If things were only different, they say, then I would be happy. They are not happy because of their marriage or because of their job or because of their physical condition or something else. There's a reason why they're not happy. Now, I am happy today, and maybe you are as well. We as believers have reason to be happy and to be joyful. And I hope that you have inherited your spiritual birthright of happiness. Past, present, and future should not make you unhappy. But somebody says, I'm not happy with my job or my home, or my marriage, or my husband. And I say, well, you might not be happy with your job, but I guarantee you can be happy in your job. There's a difference. You might not be happy with your marriage, and some want to scuttle it because of that, but I promise you, you can be happy in your marriage. Regardless. And so I'd like to share with you three reasons why Christians should be happy. And if anyone is unhappy, to them, I have three good reasons to cheer up. Jesus takes care of my past. Turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Jesus Christ has taken care of my past. And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. The first reason I would say to somebody that is a follower of Christ to cheer up, even when things don't look good, is first of all, because of our past. Something happened in my past. Something happened in your past. Something that you can put your finger on, and that itself alone is enough to be filled with cheer. Jesus Christ died on the cross to save me from my sin and take my sin away and bury it in the sea of God's forgetfulness. And I've not gotten over that, and I still am amazed by it, and I still am happy about it, and I still am excited about it. Jesus Christ tells this man that is sick with palsy in another place, We see that he had four friends who cared about him. He couldn't walk. He was paralyzed. And they lowered him down from an opening in the roof and put him right in front of Jesus. And everybody was amazed at what was happening. And some saw the hole in the roof, and some people saw a sick man, some people saw four friends. Jesus said he saw his faith, saw their faith. And then he looked at the crippled man and said something that was astonishing to the religious aristocracy or the religious establishment. He said, "Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." Has God forgiven your sins? That in itself is enough to be happy. When the prodigal son came home, realizing that he had been such a fool, and that's what sin is crazy. After he had spent all of his substance in riotous living, the Bible says, finally he came to himself. "What a fool I've been. My father's servants are living better than I do. And I took all of my inheritance and I squandered it, and it's all gone. And if anybody should not have had any blessing, it should have been him. But I'm so glad that God is gracious and God is merciful." And when he had time, as long as we have a heartbeat, we have time. When he came to himself, he said, and came to the conclusion, "I will arise and go to my father." Wow. And when he rose and went to his father, rather than his father lambasting him or bawling him out or reprimanding him, his father grabbed him by the neck and hugged him and kissed him so much that he never really finished all that he wanted to say. And the father said, "Bring out the best robe and a ring for my son's finger and shoes for his feet, and bring the fatted calf, and we're going to have a party." And the Bible said they began to be merry. And the elder brother was out in the field working on some business. I don't know what he was doing, but when he came back, he heard all of the commotion. He said when he heard the music and he heard the music and the dancing. I've said it before, but I still am astonished by that, because the Holy Spirit doesn't waste words in the Bible. I know what it's like to hear music, but to hear dancing, boy, that's some dancing. When you hear dancing, somebody is really happy. And he heard music and he heard dancing. And he inquired and he said, "What's this all about?" And he said, "Your brother, remember your brother? Oh, that rascal. Well, yes, he's come home. And the father has made a feast and they're making merry." And of course, he wasn't happy about that at all, because he didn't understand the greatness and the glory of God's mercy. And how when a sinner comes home, he's received, he's welcomed because of the love of God. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for that person. And sometimes in greatest thing that ever happened to somebody, that they ran out of their funds and ran out of their friends and they were unhappy with their circumstances, and they came to themselves and then they found a solution. "I'm happy because of something that happened in my past. I'm not happy that I squandered my substance in riotous living, and I'm not happy for sins that broke God's heart, and I'm not happy for the people that I've hurt, and I'm not happy for the stupidity and the ignorance of sin. I'm not happy for that. But I'm happy that in spite of all of that, there's a God who loved me so much that he sent his son to die on Calvary's cross for me and for you. And I still have not gotten over that. I'm happy. Because Jesus Christ takes care of my past." Isaiah chapter 59 and verse 1 says that God's ear is not heavy that he cannot hear, nor his hand shortened that he cannot save, but your sins have separated between you and your God and hid his face from you, and he will not hear. See, sin was the problem. Sin is always the problem. And when your friend, your relative, your neighbor, your coworker, you find them and they're unhappy because of something in their past, you know and I know that the problem is sin. We heard these prayer requests this morning, and it's a mile long, and it's getting longer and longer. And the truth of the matter, yes, you could say it's cancer, or you can say it's an ulcer, or you can say it's a gallbladder, and all of these things of our body breaking down. But ultimately, it's all as a result of what Adam did in the garden in not trusting God and giving God the benefit of the doubt that God's word was true. And he plunged all of humanity into this terrible thing called sin and separation from God. And God loved us so much that 2,000 years ago, God Almighty became incarnate in order to be with us. That's astonishing that he would want to be with sinners. He came into this world, the perfect man, Jesus Christ, walked among us. He walked among the crowds and along the highways and the byways, and he called out to all of the halt, the lame, the maimed, the blind, and all the unhappy people. And he pointed out that the cause of all the unhappiness is being separated from God. It's because of sin. Every time somebody sins, I don't care what sin it is, if you want to reduce them to 10 commandments, every time somebody sins, somebody gets hurt. This world is filled with hurting people, and their hearts are broken because of sin. And you and I have found the remedy and the cure. And I'm happy that somebody lowered me down on a ladder, in a litter, if you will, before the Lord Jesus. Maybe I didn't like being called the sinner. I was a good church member, card-carrying member. I didn't like being called the sinner. But somebody loved me enough to carry me and bring me and lay me at the feet of Jesus. And instead of Jesus, just give me a little bit of sweets and candy to make me a little bit happy for a little while, he pointed out that my problem was a sin problem. Be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. And the Pharisees couldn't understand it. Who is this that says your sins are forgiven? And Jesus said, wait a minute, which is harder? Which is easier? To say to this fellow, your sins are forgiven, or to say to him, get up and walk? But to prove to you that I can do the one and also do the other, I say unto you, take up your bed and walk. Go home to your house. And he astonished the whole multitude in the crowd when this man got up who had been a cripple. And he walked out with his bed rolled up under his arm and his sins forgiven because of the goodness and the grace of God. Jesus came to deal with my sin problem. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. The angel said to Mary, she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 3 and 4, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Wow. I know the world is finished with Christmas. They put all their stuff away. Now they're on to the next holiday. It's going to be Valentine's Day and then St. Patrick's Day and then be something else. They're finished with Christmas, but you and I are not finished with Christmas. We're still happy that our sins are forgiven. I'm happy because Jesus takes care of my past. The psalmist said in Psalm 32, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. I don't know if there are any insurance people here or not. If you are, please don't be offended. But the truth of the matter is, when you get the insurance policy, you better look at the fine print. Because you thought you were covered. You thought everything was okay. You paid your premiums on time, and you thought they were kind of steep, but you did it anyway. And then as you pick your way through the rubble, you find out, oops, they said that you're covered for wind, but not for waves. Oh, my. That's why the lawyers always call it a waiver. You're not covered for waves. That's a special policy. And there are lots of people who find out too late. They find out too late that they're not covered. They're not covered for that. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Well, I'm so glad, and I don't say this in a light way. I am so glad that I don't need a waiver or a second policy, that Jesus Christ died for all of my sins and they're covered. Jesus covers it all. There in the section of Egypt called Goshen, the death angel was marching through the streets of Egypt at night, fulfilling the 10th plague. And God said, every house that is marked and demonstrates its faith by covering the lintel and doorpost with blood of an innocent lamb. Is God going to slay an innocent lamb? What did a little lamb do? Israel has a diversion here, excuse me, parenthetical. Israel forgot what it was all about. He turned the temple into a butcher shop. It should break their heart to see what sin caused, that an innocent lamb would have to shed its blood because of sin. But they just got more lambs and just kept, they didn't realize how serious sin was. I don't hope to offend anybody. But the whole purpose of the sacrifice is to show that's how serious sin is. And it should break our heart. But it didn't. They just went on and went through their religiosity. 2,000 years ago, the last lamb was slain. It was God's son, the one that John the Baptist had pointed out. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And that was Jesus. I'm happy because Jesus took care of my past. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord will not impute iniquity. The psychiatrist is a false Messiah. You go to the psychiatrist. Now, I minored in psychology in university, and I read a lot of books about psychology. We talk about that. But if you go to a psychologist, you give him $300, and he feels better. Right. And he'll tell you to blame your mother, or blame your father, or blame your brother, or blame your uncle, and that's no. That's a false Messiah. The problem is here in our heart. And it's called sin. And he says there's no such thing as sin. And that's why you have to go back to the psychiatrist again and give him another $300 so he can feel better. He tries to make people feel good and comfortable with their past. He said, oh, don't worry about that. His results are deceptive and disastrous. He tries to call sin by some other name and insults an offended and holy God in the process. How much better to go to Jesus once and hear him say at the foot of the cross, believe in me. And then when you do, hear him say, be of good cheer. Your sins
are forgiven you.
Why are you happy? Well, I'm happy because Jesus took care of my past. I hope you can say that. And when the devil starts to bring it up, instead of looking for the hall of fame, let him take you to the hall of shame and say to him, Jesus paid for that. What about the Jesus paid for that? But what about this? Jesus paid for that. Jesus paid for all my sins. And then the devil will run away because you're just too happy in Jesus
for what he has done for you.
The second, Jesus takes care of my future. The second greatest cause of unhappiness in people is a kind of fear or apprehension about tomorrow or the future. What is going to happen to me? Am I going to fail or succeed? Worry about the future robs many of their happiness. Look at John chapter 16, please. John chapter 16. And verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Some people look at the future and they look at the world and they're very unhappy, very unhappy. Some are even trying to change that all to make it better and they can't, and that makes them even worse unhappy. And Jesus says, you'll have tribulation to his followers, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And you might know some young people that are very, very unhappy, that we're doing bad things to the earth, and some things we are doing bad, and we can do better. But Jesus Christ is going to make a new heaven and a new earth. And all of those polluters and all of those people that ruined the world because of greed, selfishness and sin, they're going to miss the boat. But Jesus says of those that believe in him have a good future. You can look at the end of the book and read the final chapter and know it has a happy ending because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for you and for me. I have overcome the world. We overcome as we are in the one who overcame. I may not know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Paul put it this way, being confident of this very thing, that he who hath begun a good work in me will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen to your 401k. I don't know what's going to happen to your job. I don't know what's going to happen to the housing market. I don't know what's going to happen in the world. I don't know what's going to happen in Iran, or what's going to happen in China or in Africa. I don't know if they have stealth bombers or missiles pointed at my head right now. It doesn't matter because Jesus Christ has taken care of my future as well as my past. Say, why are you so happy? Jesus took care of my past, and he's taking care of my future. I don't have to worry about it. I have his promise. My sheep hear my voice, he said, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. Wow, that's enough to be happy about. That no one will pluck us out of his hand. I've told you the story many times of how happy I felt when my father held my hand. We walked through the crowded streets of New York. The big hand is God's grace, the Father's hand. And faith is a little hand that reaches up. Why are you so happy? Everything's going crazy. Everything is falling apart. Everything's terrible. I'm holding his hand still. And Jesus Christ is taking care of my future. Be of good cheer. God has your future taken care of as well when you trusted Him as your Savior. Thirdly, I can be of good cheer because God is taking care of my present. By the way, that's where most people are unhappy. They're unhappy with the present circumstances of their life, and for that reason, they're miserable. My Bible tells me that all things are working together for good. I could say my good, because it's working together for good to those that love God and called according to His purpose. Now, I might not understand what's happening, but I need to only understand that I love God and I'm called according to His purpose. And I'm absolutely sure that God is working this very thing for good, even though I might not understand what's happening. Romans 8, verse 28. Mine's not to question what God is doing, but only to ask, do I love Him? Am I seeking God's will in my life? In Acts chapter 27, verse 25, we see the third reason for happiness. Acts chapter 27. If you'll turn there, please. This is in the middle of a storm where the ship looks like it's about to sink, and that's the present. That was the present for the Apostle Paul. Didn't look good. And he says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. Ingomar, why are you so happy? First of all, I'm not happy with myself. There's a lot of room for improvement. But I am happy because of what Jesus did with my past. He died on the cross for my sin. Second, I'm happy because of what He did for my future. He's prepared a place for me. And for you, if you trusted Christ, there's going to be a sign, banners hanging there that says, welcome home. And I'm happy about what's going on in the present, even though it looks crazy and I don't understand it because it's all messed up in my personal life, maybe, or in your personal life. It doesn't look good, but you don't see everything. One thing I do see, I see that in God's Word, it says all things are working together for good. And that means what's happening right now. You look at Paul's situation, seeing little reason to cheer. Some would think it was a time to fear, to despair, to lament would be more appropriate. In the story of the great storm, Paul was happy with Christ anyway. We would well learn the lesson of the Christian life from this passage. If you read the whole story, you'd see that maybe it wasn't so good. Take a look at verse 10. He said, sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. Whoa. You thought you would get out of this world intact with your gallbladder? No, they'd have to leave that. Take it out. Or you thought you would get out of this world without that heart attack? No, it's going to be with much hurt and much damage. We know that. And Paul knew that. Because the angel told him, you're going to go on this journey, but it's going to be a lot of hurt, it's going to be a lot of damage. Christianity is not Pollyanna. We don't make it up. It's not a fairy tale. Yes, there'll be trouble. Yes, there'll be hurt. Yes, there'll be storms. But God will be with us in those storms. And we can listen to that angel that spoke to Paul. Be of good cheer, said Paul. For I believe God. Wow, when God said you're going to go to Rome and calls you to Rome or to Kuala Lumpur or to Africa, Nothing can happen to you until God's finished with you. And when God's finished with me, I don't want to be here anyway. Take me home. And so I just want you to know that no matter what you're going through, yeah, it's going to be hurt. God never said it wouldn't hurt. He said, I'll be with you. He didn't say there wouldn't be a flood. He said, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. He didn't say there wouldn't be trouble. He said, fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will help thee. Yea, I will strengthen thee. I will hold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. He didn't say it would be all on the mountaintop. He said, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil because I'll be with you. Wow. And David could walk into the valley of Elah realizing that as long as God's with me, everything is okay. Why are you so happy? Because Jesus is taking care of my past. He's taking care of my future. And he's with me in the present. And I wish all the world would know that the pursuit of happiness in any country or in any government is a futile endeavor. But if they would just stop at a place called Calvary and take a look at the one who loved you so much that he came and died for your sins, people would hear the music and hear the dancing as you dance for joy for what Jesus has done for you. How are things going? Oh, they're looking up. He could be coming today. And if he doesn't, he's going to be with me. He's going to teach me something that I need to know. And somebody who has not yet discovered the true happiness of life is in Jesus might see me go through the fire and say, I better take a better look, a second look at what this person has said. May God help us to sing his praises, even like Apostle Paul sitting in a Philippian jail at midnight. Paul, why are you so happy? You're a prisoner. You got your back all bleeding. He said, well, God took care of my past. Jesus took care of my future. And he's with me in this jail. And all things are working together for good. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the happiness we can have and know in Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord, we're not happy with having to learn things the hard way, or for all the times we disappointed you or failed to heed. We're happy because of your mercy and that Jesus died and suffered in our place, and our heart is overflowing with gratitude. And at the same time, we long and yearn for others to come to know him, whom to know is life eternal and joy unspeakable, full of glory. Help them to see Christ in us and hear us sing thy praises as we go through this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.